Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. The goal of this young band from Georgia is to make relevant music to change the world around them. They performed at Pit Fest just recently and are beginning to book for 2024. Let me help you discover Tricord.
Tricord. If your name hasn't got something to do with a cord of three strands not easily being broken, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
That's exactly it.
Okay. Yes. Tell people where that's from.
Ecclesiastes 4:12.
And why did you choose that?
So Tricord actually was a rebranding from a previous band called Forever and Majesty. When we brought Corey into Forever and Majesty towards the end of Forever and Majesty, Corey had connected with the guy who was the producer of our EP, Chuck Hutchison. And we met with Chuck. We like ate dinner with his family and everything. It was a cool experience. We got back. We knew that we needed to try to make some changes if we were going to advance. So we ended up interviewing a guy to be a manager and my mentor, Nick Holt. And we wanted to try to fill the band with more members. So we got another guy. He was originally supposed to be the rhythm guitarist, but later will become the bassist once we pulled in Charles to do rhythm. Before we got Charles, though, we were going through a rebranding process, which our manager highly recommended us doing. So we all came up with like a total of 41 names. And one morning I was just studying my word, just in I was studying Ecclesiastes anyways. And as I was reading Ecclesiastes 4, between verse 9 to 12, and when I read that 12th verse, it was like the name Tricord just hit me. Right when I got the triple braided cord cannot easily be broken. I was like, Tricord. Oh, cool. That's cool. So that day we had another meeting. We were all together and we were about to decide the name. I was like, hey, guys, I got one more name to add to the pot. How do you guys feel about Tricord? And this is where I got the name from. Ecclesiastes 4:12. So we all read the verse and everybody's like, ooh, that's kind of cool. I didn't really want the Tricord at first, but we narrowed a list of 42 names down to like 20 names, then 15, then 10, then the top five names, and then the top three, and Tricord was in the top three. And so we all decided, you know, because of the verse and everything that pertained with it, it was just perfect. We obviously, God wanted us to be called Tricord for some reason. So because of him revealing that verse to us.
There are three of you right now. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Who is in the band and what do they do?
I am Corey Greer. I am the drummer. I have known Jermaine for a long, long time. I was in Forever Majesty before rebranding, and now we're Tricord.
And my name's Charles Martin. I was brought in initially to audition on bass, wound up the rhythm guitarist, and now I do harmony vocals and both lead and rhythm guitar parts.
All right. Jermaine, what do you do?
I play bass, and I'm the front man of the band.
Oh, okay. So you play bass. I thought maybe you had a bass called MacBook.
Okay. Well, that's probably what's gonna end up happening. Charles is always like, "Dude, we need to find a bassist so you can stay the front man." And I'm like, yeah. I mean, this is where we could do tracks and I could be up front and don't have to worry about the bass.
Yeah, or you could like get on the bass and get off the bass, like depending on the song.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. I've watched, you know, John Cooper Skillet do that. You know.
That's exactly what I was about to say. He's definitely the one that I've watched the most do that. I've watched a couple of other people, like Caleb from Stonewall Static. He does the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Can't move around as much and have fun.
Yeah, I like moving around a lot. My energy is what sells it.
Yeah. So, Corey, when did you start learning to play drums and when did you decide you had to play the drums?
I was 3 years old and I didn't have any lessons at all. My mom and daddy bought me a drum set because when I was a kid, I always beat on things. So they just like, well, buy a drum set. So they bought me a drum set, put it in the church. It was a small set. And I got up there and they just started singing. And I got up there and just started keeping a beat. And so ever since then, I'm 27 now. So from 3 to 27, I have been playing drums. That's the exact story. And I promise you, I love it. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I love doing it.
Just came natural.
It sure did.
That's cool. Charles, when did you start playing guitar, and was that the only instrument you've played?
Well, as far as guitar, when I was, I believe, 8 years old for Christmas, my parents got me this little first act acoustic from Walmart, not much bigger than a ukulele. I had always been surrounded by musicians, friends of the family. My cousin plays guitar. My uncle plays drums. The first instrument I actually messed around with was drums. I was about 3, like Corey was. And I'd always, you know, wanted to sing and entertain folks. And I guess guitar, you know, once I got that one and certain people started investing in me and showing me chords and all, and, you know, just hanging around different people, I picked it up and it became my main instrument. Then when I was around 13, I picked up bass, and in high school, a little bit of piano. But that's it, just those four things. I'm not that great on any of them. But I've stuck with guitar since I was 8, and around 13, I got into doing praise and worship. And that's when I knew, like, I would never set a guitar down unless I get arthritis or something or lose some fingers. But I'm 33 now, and I've been sticking with it for 25 years now.
Wow. And Jermaine, what about your music background?
Okay, so my music background started in the sixth grade playing saxophone. Fun fact, I still play saxophone to this day.
I love the saxophone. What a cool sound.
Thank you. It's such a fun instrument. So I played saxophone from sixth grade, and that was my ticket into college. I thought it was going to be sports, but it ended up being saxophone. Who would have knew? But I felt like the Lord was pulling me towards the direction of music. And about, 2012, I started learning other instruments. So I play piano, I play bass, I play drums, and I play a bunch of other odd instruments as well, like the ocarina and other stuff. So, yeah, I'm pretty versatile with the instruments that I play. If it can make a sound, I could probably learn how to play it.
You all live in South Georgia. Would you call it South Georgia if it's Savannah-ish?
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Were you raised in the same area?
Around the same area, I think.
Within about 3 hours of driving, except for Jermaine. He's lived everywhere.
Jermaine, what you been doing? Why you been everywhere?
I don't know. My friends tell me I have a gypsy spirit. I just can't stay still.
All right. Well, where were you born?
I was born in Jessup, but I lived in Jacksonville, Florida. I've lived in Brunswick, Georgia. I've lived in South Carolina. We moved a lot. Jessup, I would say, is my hometown, because when I was in the seventh grade, we moved to Jessup. Then I left right after high school to go to college at Georgia Southern in Statesboro. And then some situations happened, which is part of my testimony that I usually tell on stage. And
yeah, we'll do that in a minute.
Okay, cool. Then it brought me back home for a little bit. And then I ended up moving to Jacksonville and a couple other parts of Florida and South Carolina, then back home again.
Wow.
Yep.
Who wants to share their faith story or their spiritual journey?
You go first, Corey.
Okay. So my spiritual journey, I would say, started when I was 12 or 13 years old. I got saved at a youth camp over here in South Georgia, Tifton, Georgia, as a matter of fact. And I wasn't, you know, growing up when you first get saved, you know, I wasn't living the best life, but I was better off than I was. But I had to figure everything out. And, you know, as I got older, things gotten better for me. My dad is a preacher, so me growing up in the church a lot really helped me. And drums, playing drums, one of them things that really helped me, you know, better myself and to get me strongly involved in the church and stuff like that. And it's just, I went through things, but like I say, it got better. And then I got high school. You know, I had a baby, you know, I'll be honest, I had a baby, and I ended up getting married and went through a horrible divorce. So, you know, I backslid, you know, because it really just changed my whole life drastically. So I ended up, you know, doing things I shouldn't have done. I won't get into that. But and so I was just in a deep depression that I could get to. And I just asked God why. And I need you. And, you know, it's just a thing to where daddy had this group come and sing. And this guy told me, I see your pain. I know what you're going through. And all that, and it's just I broke there. And ever since then, I got rededicated, changed my life, and started playing drums again, and then got in a band, and my whole life has just been great, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyone else?
Charles.
All right, so I wasn't really raised in church or anything. I'd been taken to a few Baptist church and stuff growing up by family members. And I had a best friend in, I think, seventh grade. I was about 12 or 13. He took me to youth, and he was, I guess, the youth music person or whatever. He got up there and did praise and worship. And after a few weeks, I wound up getting up there with him, and that's kind of what got me into church and all. And that led my brother and sister into church, and we did that up until I graduated. Then I moved over here to Jessup from Effingham and started playing with a youth group. And then started dating somebody and backslid out of the church for a little while. And went down a rocky road, as we all do, to learn hard lessons, those of us with a hard head anyhow. And I wound up in a situation where I had to do some community service for the pastor at the church I go to now. I wound up getting back into the church after, I think, just a few short weeks of being there. They asked me to get on stage and play bass for them. And I did that up until the lead guitarist changed churches, and then I stepped into that position and have been at that church. I believe this December will be 10 years. And other than stepping down twice to correct some things in my life, I've pretty much been up there for 10 years consecutively. I guess that's kind of what anchors me in staying in church.
Mm-hmm. Jermaine, how about your spiritual journey?
All right. So my salvation story goes back to 2010. I wasn't raised like deep in the church, but I liked going to church. Towards my senior year, I started venturing out to different types of churches and stuff. And I ended up going to college. Like I said, I got a music scholarship to Georgia Southern. Going to Georgia Southern, I started battling some depression and stuff, and I was about to commit suicide one night in my apartment room.
Wow.
And I cut the word love in my arm and cut through that word. I was battling with so much self-hatred and so much pain, so much lack. I was trying to fill the void of love that I was chasing with all kinds of things, with pornography and with relationships that I knew were toxic for me, but I just wanted something to fill that void. I didn't grow up with a dad and all. So that night I had made some decisions that were about to greatly alter my life forever. And I thought the only way to get out of this situation was to take my life.
Mm.
And so me cutting the word love in my arm was like a message to whoever found my body. You know, that was the one thing that I felt like desired. I had the idea that I was created only to love others, but never to be truly in love or loved myself. And so I was about to end it all. And I just started weeping and said, God, help me. I don't know what to do. I give this all to you. And it was like a peace that I never felt that just completely immersed me. And like, I just lost my mind. I said, God, I give you my life. I want to be saved and I want to give this to you. And so from that point on, it probably wasn't until 2012. I started going back to church at the beginning of the year of 2011. And it was a consistent thing. I didn't miss it. Every time the doors were open, I was there. But it wasn't probably until 2012 that I was completely set ablaze and set into the path of ministry that God had ordained for me. So since 2012, I've been full steam, full blazed, never looking back, never turning back kind of type deal.
Amen. This band in the form it is now as Tricord started, what, 2020?
Yes, ma'am.
During the pandemic. It was like, you woke up and you said, hey, there's no live music anywhere. Let's start a band. Is that what you did?
It almost was like that. We started, actually, Tricord became Tricord in the end of February, beginning of March, somewhere around that time.
Oh, and right at the beginning.
I know, right?
What timing.
I know. That's what we said. We were like, wow. It was crazy, though. Like, there were people that were starting bands and were just like, nah, we're just, or bands that have been around for a long time just stopped being bands because of the pandemic and all. It was crazy. We took it as a time to, like, study and prepare. We started watching other bands. We started watching what they were doing, how they were doing it. We were watching shows and festivals they were getting booked on. We were watching venues, and we were taking notes. We were preparing so that we could pretty much springboard ourselves once everything opened back up.
You say you were looking at all these artists. Who were the ones that inspired you to do what you're doing?
Oh, it was a list of them. Seventh Day Slumber, Jenna Parr, Skillet. Yep, just a bunch of the Rockfest records. They did really good during the pandemic. So we watched a lot of those guys and gals and what they were doing and stuff.
You've been slowly growing. I started hearing more about you, and my husband saw you just recently down at Murray Hill in Jacksonville.
Yes, ma'am.
And he said, you need to call Tricord. So here we are, because I like to introduce new bands to people. Tell us about what you've got going on musically and what people can listen to.
You go for it, Charles.
Okay, so the first thing we did as a full band when we still had five members was our EP Into the Storm. I think some of those songs were from the rebranding of Forever in Majesty mixed with some stuff that Joey Smith brought to the table. And everybody kind of added their own little flair that they brought to the table. And it was kind of, you know, a wide array of different genre and styles, and it kind of didn't have a true direction other than to just get something out there for people to start listening to and be able to get familiarized with us. Mm-hmm. And then from the EP, we did a cover of Drown, which is Lecrae featuring John Legend.
Okay.
And we kind of threw our own little sauce on that and rocked it up a little bit. And it kind of did pretty well there for a while. And then we became a three-piece band. And the first production of that would have been Untitled. I think we were just having a practice one day, and me with my noodling while everybody else is trying to set up and stuff, came up with this little riff. And Jermaine stopped me. He's like, bro, what is that? I was like, I don't know. Just doodling, you know. And he's like, we're about to make a song out of that. So within one practice, we wrote Untitled, had to tweak some lyrics and stuff. And that was the first thing we've put out as a three-piece.
So you're saying that the first one was sort of like a shotgun approach. You tried all kinds of different genres to kind of see where you fell?
Yes, ma'am. There's a little bit of heavier rock, some softer rock, some rap rock, rapcore, whatever they call it nowadays. Some worship stuff, especially the very last song on there, Everlast.
What kind of genre are you falling into?
New metal, rapcore.
That was definitive, you know.
Uh-huh. We have kind of changed gears and come up with two new songs that we played for the past, I think, two tours we've been on. And to have not recorded and released them, people are really loving it. They turn all the way up at shows for it, and after they hear one chorus, the next time around, they're fully into it. So I think we're kind of scratching at the surface and finding how to hone in on, you know, new metal and rap core. Mm-hmm. But we've definitely changed directions and have some more new surprises on the way.
Okay. What's your writing process look like? Who's doing the writing? This is going to be good.
It's not really a writing process.
That's why. You accidentally find songs?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure each of us have a whole list of recordings in our phones of us slapping stuff and humming or little verses, or I'll constantly send them guitar riffs every time I pick up a guitar. Most of our stuff happens when we're having like this very spirit-filled practice where it's just like a fountain of the Lord releasing stuff upon us. Usually derives from me noodling and them liking what it sounds like and us just having a little free jam with it And we're like, hey, we need to do something with that. And by the time of that practice, we've written one or two new songs.
Well, newsflash, that is your writing process. Every band that I talk to, their phones are full of riffs and chord progressions, and that's it.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
It's not bad to do it that way. That's your process.
It really is kind of a cool thing. Personally, I'll chime in after a little bit off of what he just said. Not that I'm a similar like control freak or anything like that. I'm all about everybody expressing their creativity or whatever. Mm-hmm. But one of the things in the last like year and a half that God has really challenged me to is step back from the process. I'm huge with like writing, especially lyrics. Lyrics are like my jazz. I'm really swell at writing lyrics and coming up with fun ways to do wordplay type stuff. I had like a list of songs that I was like ready. Like, yo, guys, I got these songs ready. I've written them. I've quoted them out. I know how it's going to go. Here is these songs. We're going to make a full album out of that. Every time we would try to work on them and stuff, something crazy would happen. And so like one day I just really got in my prayer closet about it. And I was just like, God, you know, what do I need to do here? And it was just as simple as God was like, trust me, pull back. And I was like, but God, I got these cool songs. I know you gave me these songs. And ever since I stopped trying to force stuff,
yeah,
God has completely transcended us with everything. Just like even like down to this interview, it's just this is where Charles and I learn from each other. Because we're opposite of each other in a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways we're alike, but we're really opposite. Charles is very slow moving and very like, what's the word, methodical. I am very fast paced and let's get it. And so I have had to learn to step back and trust the process and not try to force or rush the process. And Charles has learned, hey, I need to pick up the pace here in a kind of way and certain things and stuff. But I've learned from Charles to take it easy and to relax and to just trust the process. And that's one of the things God has showed me about my bandmates and how we all can learn from each other. There's things that we need to pick up from each other and stuff like that. But ever since I did that, the process has been beautiful. We'll just start like noodling around and then something comes of it. And then it's like God literally downloads what we need, the progression, the way that we need to do it and everything to each and every one of us. And it works out beautifully.
So what's some of your challenges as a band right now?
A vehicle.
That's the most important.
That's the bane of every band's existence is their van, their vehicle.
Yes. Right.
So how are you tackling that problem? What's your goals?
Well, I'll say it like this. Sometime last year, we started making posts about the three main things that we needed.
Okay.
An enclosed trailer, sound equipment, and a vehicle. And we have been tremendously blessed with two of those things. Brand spanking new sound equipment, brand spanking new enclosed trailer. And we have somebody who's willing to invest in us right now for a traveling vehicle. He has absolutely blessed us.
So what's been your best gig so far and why?
That's a loaded question.
That's a loaded question.
It depends on how many answers we give. That's the question because I got multiple ones.
I believe, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I believe one of our favorite venues has been Murray Hill in Jacksonville, Florida. After this past weekend in Indiana at Pit Fest, that's one of our top favorites that we've done so far.
I'm going to go a different route. I do agree with Murray Hill, but I'm going to say Arkansas at Rock at the River. That was a really good one for me.
Okay, so you said Rock in the River, and you said Pit Fest in Murray Hill. I'm going to go and say Get Revelation Rock Fest in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay, and now why?
For that one, spiritually, okay, so we do like the night before, all the artists meet up on Friday night, and we have like a night of worship. And I used to have the worst stage fright of wanting to sing. When playing instruments, I don't have stage fright at all. Singing, I used to have monster stage fright.
Okay.
And that night when we did the worship and I just let loose and just went into a spontaneous worship moment on one of the songs I was leading. And literally the next day, I was not scared to get on stage. Ever since that night, I've never been scared to get on stage at all anymore.
Okay, so that was like a monumental moment for you.
Yeah. Yes.
Charles, Corey, why did you pick the ones you picked?
Okay, for me, Pit Fest, because the crowd response and the whole aura from each and every other band, the hospitality was unmatched. I mean, we receive love everywhere we go, but just the kitchen staff and the staff and everybody at Pit Fest was top tier. Made us feel like family, like we'd known them our whole lives, and kept plenty of food out for us.
Yes!
Yay, food! Angie at Pit Fest was talking to her today, and she told me to tell you guys hi.
So. Hey, Angie. the reason why I chose Harrison, Arkansas, I believe, while Rocking the River, was because of not only was it fun or whatever, it was just the blessings that we got that whole 2 days or day. I mean, not only that, the crowd, the people that was just blessed by us and blessed us, not just us blessing them, but in return, it was just one of them all moments. You cry moments where you just really just speechless of what God has really done. God, it was so much that happened, I can't even say everything. That was my favorite venue just because of the blessings that was bestowed on us that particular night.
When you're out on the road, what's your favorite road snack?
Okay, mine's gummies. Like anything gummy is my favorite road snack.
Corey and I are gummy holics. We will chow down on a huge bag of gummies.
What about you, Charles?
Mine is beef jerky.
Like I knew he was going to say beef jerky. I had it in my mind.
Me too. I knew he was going to say that.
The next important thing is, what's next for Tricord? What are y'all doing?
All right. So we have one more show for the year. We're doing a community show, a fall festival for a church in Reidsville.
Okay.
We were talking about being in our Christmas parade down here in Jessup.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't made an official decision on that. We need to make it kind of quick in the next week or so I could fill out the paperwork for it. But aside from that, the beginning of the year is hopefully about to be huge for us. Before the end of the year, we plan on dropping a music video. So hopefully we'll have that music video shot within the next several weeks. And before the end of the year, the music video will be dropped. So the music video will be the music video for the song Into the Storm that we have out. And it will be kind of like the closing chapter of that part of Tricord, of that era of Tricord, walking into the new era of Tricord. So the beginning of the year, we hope to also drop one of the new singles from what will be called our full-length album, Shipwrecked. So we went into the storm, and now we're shipwrecked. And we're going to kind of keep that storm thing kind of a storytelling vibe in the band. So
you need to hang out with Rusty Ship.
I know. They're so really cool.
Aren't they, though? Yeah,
they're so really cool. I need to reach out to them.
Yeah.
Yes, we're getting shipwrecked. So the plan is, well, there's my plan and there's God's plan. Our plan is to have the album out next year sometime. We don't really have a specific time frame of when it's going to be out. We know we won about 12 songs on there. And we know that we're going to try to drop a bunch of singles leading up to the album dropping. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get really creative with videos and do a lot of concept videos to kind of like hype it up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So next year is going to be big. We've already gotten booked for a few festivals. We've already got a couple of tours in the works and being talked about right now that we're trying to go ahead and officialize. We have some collabs that we're doing with other artists and all kinds of stuff. 2024 is about to be monumental for Tricord, and we're super stoked about it. God is so faithful. I'm trying not to cry right now. It's mind-blowing to watch what God has really done for us.
That's right.
Yep. When your heart's in the right place, amen. And as we wrap up, how can people stay in contact with you and tell us a bit about the merch?
At the beginning of the year, we'll have this big relaunch, hopefully, of our website. And once the website's relaunched, you'll be able to order off the website. But right now, if you want merch, you can message us on our Facebook message and we can get you whatever you need. We have our fall and winter stuff out, which are hoodies, sweatpants, and beanies.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what social medias are you active on?
Facebook, Instagram. We're becoming more active on TikTok, YouTube, Reverb Nation. We were pretty consistent on that. We've kind of fallen off on Reverb, but we do have Reverb, and we will try to do better about being more active on that.
Okay. I appreciate you talking with me, and hope to see you on the road.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Well, good night.
Thank
good
you, night. Ma'am. Good night.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.